In this episode of What the Prophets Say, join me, Emma Stark, Jonah Wilson, and Rebecca Rednick as we talk about going west. Saddle up your horses. It's time to ride. Hello, loyal listeners, and a warm welcome to you and our newcomers. It's What the Prophets Say with me, Emma Stark. And once again, I have the sheer joy and delight of being joined in the studio by Rebecca Rednick, all the way from
Romania.
Romania. If I got the right Romanian accent there, Romania.
I mean, it's good enough.
Is it good enough?
Yeah.
Sorry if that's not quite
Romania. Right. Can you say that? Romania.
Romania.
Yeah, that's how you'd say Romania in Romanian.
Huh, there we go. We're learning every day is a school day. And Jonah Wilson from Cincinnati, Ohio.
But not anymore.
But no, from down the road.
From Glasgow. I get to say I'm from Glasgow. I'm a proper Scottish man.
Oh, sorry, I'm kicking you as
no,
well.
It's all good.
As a welcome. Sorry, I literally...
Welcome to our nation.
Almost the opposite of what we did last time in the worship time when everyone is grafting
welcoming you in.
Now the Glasgow kiss.
Oh.
No, but no, you don't want it.
Is it like a ring before spring kind of situation?
What's that?
What on earth is
that?
Oh,
have you never heard that?
Teach us.
Okay, so in the States, you go to one of two schools.
Okay.
If you're more reformed, you go to Liberty University.
Okay.
If you are spirit-filled and love Jesus, air quotes, you go to Lee University and you go to a Church of God. And it is said it's one of the most expensive ways to find a wife because you're going to be spending $50,000 a year
on your education.
But you will have a ring before spring because you find your person. You find your person in the fall, and by the springtime, you may or may not drop out of school because you found your spouse.
We're not endorsing any particular university here, but
no,
still.
Not at all.
No, a Glasgow kiss isn't somebody wallops you on the forehead with their forehead.
Yeah, I was going to imagine it wouldn't be a positive thing. Yeah.
Sorry, we just sounded so much less.
Definitely not a ring before spring.
No, what about an Irish kiss? What does that do?
Ooh. No, that's very passionate. But no.
I won't tell you what
a Romanian kiss is.
That's
after the engagement, after you're married. That's the kind of kiss that is what I'm hearing. Definitely not PG-13.
So, yeah.
A Glasgow kiss is the actual one you do not want because it's just a headbutt. Isn't that right? Glaswegians in the room? Yep. The class behind the glass is confirmed. Nobody wants a Glasgow kiss. Moving on.
Yeah, I'd like to see a segue now into this.
Well, we're going to wallop them with the spirit of the Lord,
right? Oh, bum, bum.
Very good. So
Fantastic. The
smacking word of God is...
Are you coming to me?
Yes.
Okay, I
no,
love
but
it.
Look at us both. Look at you, Rebecca, because we knew that you could do it.
The smacking word of God today is we're going to be hitting cultural Christianity. And we've been speaking about this. You'll hear us speaking at GPA about cultural Christianity and what it really means to be actually a kingdom Christian. But in my experience in Romania, and sometimes I've spoken about it on other times I was here, I spoke about it in war rooms at one point about the lady at the bus stop who, you know, she'll say that she told me that she prays, she reads her Bible, she goes to church. When I asked her if she wanted to be healed, she said, oh gosh, no, the devil's too big for that. I couldn't possibly ask you to pray for me. And it's this whole idea of what does it really mean to be a Christian? And are we just basing it on having a good morality? Are we just looking at it from a point of view of the way that our behavior fits in with a specific moral code? I mean, we're seeing lots of things now, even in the West. There are so many people. I was talking to you about that, about it's Richard Dawkins, who recently admitted that he goes to church on a regular basis because he loves the morality of Christianity, but there is no relationship with Jesus at all, and he's fully atheist.
Yeah.
So yeah, this is what we're really hitting in this episode is we want to really talk about what does it mean to think that you're a Christian as a nation, as a, you know, as a I was going to say a Romanian word, popor, as a nation, but actually really are you? What does that mean? Without Jesus, what does that look like?
I mean, we talked a fair bit using the phraseology of cultural Christianity. I would like to sit in the concept of cultural gospel. Because the gospel being the good news.
Right, yeah.
So if you talk about cultural gospel, it's good news for the culture. In the wrong sense of that.
Yeah.
In that the culture is endorsed.
Yep.
And the direction of travel of the culture is endorsed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good news to the culture in all of the wrong ways.
Yeah.
Rather than good news that rescues you from the culture, which is the kingdom gospel yeah. versus the cultural gospel. And very much we are seeing the defense of culture from a false gospel. And a lot of churches stuck in what we would call not just cultural Christianity, but the cultural gospel. And the shock that we have found ourselves saying that the direction of our culture is good news.
Mm, yeah.
Rather than Jesus is good news.
Yeah, and it's a call to come up higher. It's a call to see things seated where Jesus is seated, seated where we are seated together with him.
I think the problem that we have here now is that we're so entrenched in cultural Christianity or the cultural gospel that the Bible is now not just a little bit revolutionary, but is so extremely almost retaliatory towards what we now have, that to really be a person of the kingdom, you actually look like you're hostile. You're hostile to the status quo. And that has become quite a difficult place for people to sit. So although we now have very well understood the sin of Christian nationalism, the sin of the cultural gospel, the sin of Christendom, the sin of the evangelicalism, which is, you know, pillars of faith without the Spirit. We understand all that. We are still scared of the fullness of the gospel and scripture because it is now forcing us into a revolutionary state. And that is becoming increasingly difficult for the people of God. So we're now finding these hybrid places where, oh no, we don't want to be Christian national. We don't want to endorse Christendom, but we don't want to completely overturn the tables. And this graying area, I have to say today, it needs revolutionary is the gospel, or the gospel is revolutionary, and therefore those of us who endorse it are revolutionaries. And that is becoming an increasingly difficult conversation because it's so extreme.
And I think something that you have to look at as a test or as a, how do I taste in the spirit and discern in the spirit where we're at as a pulse? When you have a partial gospel, where you are championing and clapping your hands because you're saying we have air quote righteousness. So we have a culture that now champions life or that champions conservative values, but then you lose sight of the widow and the orphan. That's a partial gospel because we see Jesus actually brings the fullness and he brings both this idea of traditional values. We love marriage. We love marriage between a man and a woman. And also, the poor and the widows will always be among you. How are you taking care of them? Yeah. How are you taking care of the foreigner in your midst? He's bringing a full gospel. So when you're cherry picking and picking one piece, not the other, that's where you have a cultural Christianity that suits your needs, your desires, not actually suits the kingdom's desires.
I would want to throw into the mix the word resistance. Christians of the resistance arise, and church who know where the battle is must now come forth.
Yeah.
And this remnant who start with the gospel of the kingdom now need to emerge. It's worth, I think, giving a sense of how we feel as prophets the Lord is doing this, in that the gospel, as we read it in scripture, is now so far away from most of the church, tragically so. The concept of a resistance movement, the concept of a revolutionary movement is now the words that are in play. And you and I know from church history and even from war history that a resistance is not for everybody and a revolution is not for everybody. And that very much we are finding, if I use the word pioneers, I think the word pioneers is terribly overused. But the go ahead of the brave is going to be quite a small number. Why? Because you're going to have to see some in a resistance revolution start to be brave enough to speak something very different and brave enough to actually be quite provocative and brave enough to set up completely alternative communities and brave enough to almost spit at some things and to irritate some things very deeply for their cultural sin. And very genuinely, not every personality can sit there, nor would you want every personality to sit there.
No.
Because you actually then deny the nurturers who must follow their place.
Yeah.
In the mop-up, you know, at or at the sense of the teachers who then must perhaps more stoically teach this stuff out. So we're now finding a place for the forerunning apostles and the forerunning pioneers to call themselves a resistance movement, mm-hmm. and to know that they need to back each other. They know they need to have some things break.
Yeah.
And then you're looking for a wave of nurturers to come to help people stand in that new place, if that makes sense.
And I
so
think
true.
Even just if you're thinking, am I that forerunner? Am I that pioneer? Well, I don't know about you guys, but how I feel oftentimes when the church is going through, if we're going to use another R, this Reformation period as well,
yes.
I get so excited knowing that the Lord has a better plan. There is something that's coming that God is doing that is better than anything that's ever been before. It might mean that things have to die. It will
yes.
mean things have to die. It will mean that things have to stop and are broken down. But then what comes out of it afterwards is the true pioneering and the forerunning that actually gets me really excited.
Let's sit in that because I think that's really important.
Yeah.
Because before a resistance starts or before a reformation or a revolution takes place, you get those early adopters in internal angst. You get the years of the deep frustration. You get the years of that this is not right. And I think it needs to accrue in years of frustration. It needs to accrue in years of this is not right. And this is, and you are naming the things to you that are off until you have a full picture of something that is not just partially off, but is so completely off, you cannot stomach it any longer.
But I mean, this is freeing.
It is freeing. And then,
so
once you've built the understanding of the fullness of what is off, you then go beyond that and you actually start to come out the other end of your frustration and you come out the other end of your irritation and you become the resistance. Now, becoming the resistance and becoming the revolution is a different emotional game.
Yeah.
In that you actually lose the years of frustration and irritation and you become the builders of the new. And I think we need to understand that we are now at that point where we are modeling and becoming the new. And that is a different pace. And that is a different grace. And that is a different rhythm where you are the demonstration of the new rather than the precursor to that, which is the years of the irritation. Now, if you stay too long in the years of irritation, you get bitter.
Well, I think that's part of the challenge of, so we've attempted revival.
Yes, and it's not the model for today.
It's not the model for today. I would even push the issue and say we've even attempted reformation.
Yes.
And reformation has even failed us.
Yes.
Which is why we have to step into revolution, which looks different than reformation.
Yes.
Because you're actually not coming in like a Martin Luther and saying, I have these things against the church.
Yeah.
We're actually a little bit beyond that because there's such a resistance to the pioneer wanting to reset and take us back to the foundations and saying, where have we lost it? And really, when you're pioneering something, you're starting from scratch.
Yes.
You're actually going to the very beginning and saying, okay, I'm actually not even going to take anything with me.
Yeah.
Not even the shirt on my back. I'm going to forge something new. And as I'm in the wilderness, I'm looking at the Lord saying, okay, right, I have the word and I have the spirit. I'm losing my sense of culture and my sense of what was to forge something new.
Yeah.
Yes, Rebecca.
It'll express itself in your own personal life. So many times, you know, the prophet and the apostle, they'll start to walk through things personally that is showing what's going on in the church. And I think there is such a freedom if you're listening to this, really receive a freedom to realize that having a righteous indignation is okay, as long as it's unto something, as long as you don't stay there, as long don't stick in the compliance and complacence and sadness of what's going on. We need to say, okay, there's a righteous indignation. I'm frustrated by my own lack of pioneering, even though I am pioneering in my area that I'm in.
Yes, you are.
But it should be, and that's normal and that's okay, for me to then go, okay, I'm frustrated with this, so now what does God want me to do with it? Now I'm going to get up and I'm going to go forward.
I think we had to, for years, say this. It is okay to be frustrated.
Yes.
It is okay to be irritated. It is okay to be annoyed. It is okay to say, I don't think this is right.
Yeah.
Or can we talk about the fact that our foundations are squint here? Mm. And there was many years of that permission giving to a mindset of a resistance movement. Then you move beyond the permission giving to feel like that into actually, I've owned this and I am so alive with the need for change.
There must be
There must be more type concepts, but that is very difficult to sit in because you are pushing the whole time. You're actually quite irritating to lead at that point. I used to have a staff member who I actually quite miss her thought processes in that she would say to me, in fact, every birthday I would say, what would you be gutted about if it didn't happen this in your next birthday year? And she would always for years say the same thing to me. She would say, I'd be gutted if I wasn't on the cutting edge of God. And it so owned her insides.
Yeah.
That it became very difficult because then we were never consolidating anything and nothing was actually becoming built because next. Now, watch the journey here. The permission to become an irritated, then the permission to be an irritant, and then you've got to know where you must be to produce the new.
Wow.
Otherwise, if you stay in any of those, you miss where God is in this season. And you cannot keep raging against your own church and your own people. It's not kind.
Don't do it.
And God is kinder than that. And you cannot keep and staying in the place where you say, I don't have anybody to my left or my right. Flipping, move.
Move, and then remember the scripture that says, go and make disciples.
Yes.
Every single person is called to go and make disciples.
And the reason I'm so forceful with it is because I love you well enough to not have you in 18 months tell me the same thing when you will have missed the moment.
Yeah.
And then we've got to deal with the bitterness in your heart, and then we've got to deal with the unresolved offense. But
that
all
stems from, I think, the idea of, well, let me just birth a revival. Let me try to fix the existing. I'm burnt out. I'm frustrated. But the Lord tells me to stay. The Lord tells me to stay. No, the Lord did not.
No, I think you are. Right.
You enjoy the comfort. You enjoy the comfort in sitting in the area that you can't fix so that you can be a victim, and you have to come out of that victim
state. I think that's right. I think as well, and Rebecca, you can comment on this because you run a church and I'm in Christian leadership too. I mean, we all are here. This place that you then find in that there are those to your left and your right in actual quite close proximity whose frustration was not actually a frustration against the sin of the status quo. But their frustration was a frustration that they were not promoted.
Gosh, yeah.
And you start to see that emerge. And I think you then, and I think it's where we are now, we are seeing the split of the pioneers because now you have to produce the new. Yeah. You have to produce the new.
And you're not getting promoted in the existing structure.
Absolutely. And then you're realizing that what you wanted to produce was your own platform rather than the production of a new wineskin and the hosting and drinking of the new wine. Yeah. And I think there is yet a separation at work under the hand of God amongst even those that yesterday we would have said, oh, I'm so glad we're in agreement. You're as irritated as I am. Let's all be irritated together. Let's all share the concept of being the resistance. Yeah. You know, we all want to be revolutionaries. And actually very genuinely happily coalesced in that place.
Yeah.
Because there was a very genuine shared heart of there's something more.
Yeah.
And then suddenly you have to produce the new.
Yeah.
Oh, hang on a minute. I was producing a platform for me.
Yes. Well, you know, in church life, I mean, yeah. as the Lord hones the call over each individual in that church, you know, there will always inevitably be cutting away of, you know, there will be separations, and they will, some of them will be of God and some of them won't. And it's actually something that's normal and natural in the pioneer's life. And I think rejection as well is something incredibly normal, incredibly usual, but it's not our destination. It's not something that we need to stay in. It's not something that we revel in, like you were saying. It's not something that we victimize ourselves in about, oh, I've been rejected because I'm a pioneer. Well, no, that needs to be onto something, and you need to start pioneering. You need to start going to do something. We love as a church to send people out into doing what the Lord has told them to do. We love doing that. It's one of our greatest joys is to say the Lord has a vision and a plan for your life. Go forth and do what God has called you to do. And if it's not with us, that's okay.
It is easier to grumble.
Yeah. I mean, you don't need complainers.
Than it is to produce good fruit.
Oh, yes. Yeah, and complain about how hard it is to be a pioneer and not pioneer anything.
Because then you don't have to do
there
anything.
There are so many people who do that.
You don't have to do anything.
Because you don't have to do anything. You can point the finger and tell everybody else that they're not doing a good job.
But at some point, I'll use an American colloquialism and be like, if you go out west and you're foraging in the wilderness, at some point you have to plant some things and start growing some things or your family's going to die.
Wow.
So if you think about that.
Very good analogy.
You have to, at some point, be the head of the household and forge something and recognize, right, okay, it's cold out here. I've got no one but my family and me, but we're going to start to plant some things and we're going to build a house.
I think the difficulty, and this is where I think we need to pray for our dear listeners and viewers, is because we took years, and rightly took years, this is a good comment, of the identification that something wasn't working. And the identification of there's more, and then tribally aligning and working together to see where we agreed on the fact that there was more. What I'm watching now is tragically a new wave of church pain but we did these years and I thought we were within the same value system, and actually quite legitimately you were. Right, well, let's play around with this Sunday night service. Because we don't want to touch Sunday morning, but let's play here. Or let's play on a Friday night. And very, very good grind, actually. And I think there's been a fair amount of experimentation to find in that it was actually quite shallow waters. And then to find that the wildness of the new, not everybody could get on board with. I think that's a very difficult place for some people to be. Because they realize that the resistance, revolutionary, true kingdom gospel within them is not yet satisfied, even though you thought you were journeying with your tribe for quite some time. Yeah. And that they're finding that those that spoke together very legitimately with shared spoken values are now not in the same place with shared actionable values. And there's a lot of fear that will need to be healed, and that's good to acknowledge. But actually the prayer today then is, if you really are still finding that within you is a resistance movement, within you is a revolutionary, within you is a passion for the gospel of the kingdom, we now want to bless you to go where you need to go, to be what you need to produce. You cannot have another year where you do not produce miracles, signs and wonders.
Yeah, and I think to stop looking to a man-made structure, even if it's a church program structure, that you can fit in, that already exists, that will support the call of God on your life if God is calling you to the new and to the more.
Mm-hmm. So go out west.
And plant.
Go west.
Plant.
Oh, there's a song. Go west, young man.
There's always
experiment. Yeah. We're in a season of experimentation. We have a very short window of grace to be able to do that.
This is why we need community and family to be able to experience.
Do it in community and family. If you don't have it yet, find someone. Find someone from the street.
Yeah.
Bring them into the fold.
Can you guys pray for our loyal listeners in that kind of third wave? Wave one being, I identify the need for more. Wave two, we are going to give each other permission to be frustrated collectively. But this wave three of now, I must produce much fruit, and pray people into fruitfulness. Go for it.
So we bless you right now, those who are listening to us, and you're really feeling that pull into the new, mm-hmm. that pull into everything that we've just been speaking about. We bless you into fruitfulness. We bless you with a courage to be able to walk in the new, to be able to move on from a rejection that you might have felt in the past, and to be able to acknowledge what it is that God has called you to do. Move forward, go out west, and start to plant in Jesus' name.
And we just bless the fruit right now. In Jesus' name, we bless your ability to find fertile ground. That's what I just keep hearing the Lord say. Stop planting on the rocks and the toils of the soil. But the Lord's saying, it's time to find the fertile ground. So right now, I just bless you. I bless you. I bless you in your ability to find fertile ground to plant.
Saddle up your horses.
Why do we have to have a song?
You've got a trail to blaze. Well, you'd be disappointed if I didn't sing.
I would.
So I blew yonder.
I would join you, but I...
Of God's amazing grace. Stephen Curtis Chapman. Yeah, probably now I've broken some copyright laws, but it was
less than 30 seconds.
I don't
think we're fine.
It sounded anything like the song, so it's okay.
Jeez, thank you so much.
This person's cheeky to my left. My word.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of What the Prophets Say. We'll see you very soon.
Bye.
Hello friends, I've got something exciting to share with you. If you want to reach out and grab hold of our hands so that we can take you to the next level, you need to download our Par TV app today. Go to partv.app, and we have there exclusively podcast Par resources that run alongside the podcast for more activation of the power of God in your life. Make sure that you've not missed this opportunity to dive deeper on the partv.app.